Kaleidoscope is filmed before a live studio audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
Convergent patrons are assaulted by a Bill the Comedian, Clerks 2 and Big Brothers are up for a review, and Shane starts to work on his Trogdor costume for next year's Comic-Con.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to your Scope Show. This is show number 9, for those of you that are counting.
We're running out of fingers, Shane.
Yes. We're running dangerously low. One show till the historic episode 10. People didn't think it would happen, but it would.
To be celebrated in small countries everywhere.
Absolutely. So I am your host, Shane. There are also two other hosts for the show. One of them is missing. That would be Adam. Hey, Adam.
Hello.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's running a little late, and I'm sure he's going to burst in at any moment. And
it'll be very dramatic, and it'll be captured on microphone for all of our dedicated Scope listeners.
And for you new listeners, the guy talking that isn't me would be Jared. He runs the control booth, the computers, the robots, and all of and that's all he does is push sound effects buttons.
Pretty much.
Now, we have to talk a little bit about the lack of professionalism on Adam's part for not being here. You know, it's...
Hey, professionalism connotes that he's being paid.
Yes. But it makes me sick. But then again, we can do what we want to do now. I mean, there's no...
There's no limiting factor. He's not there to poo-poo any of the madness we might decide to throw forth.
Give us those crazy, dirty looks that he often shoots and the general malaise that comes off from his side of the table as we're recording.
Not hot.
Not hot. So, what are we going to do in episode number 9?
I hope something good.
Yeah, so we got a lot to talk
about. What's on tap?
Well, the main thing I want to talk a little bit about today is the San Diego Comic-Con, which just happened last weekend, I believe.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah, which it kind of dovetails, segues nicely into what this show is going to be about, this episode and last episode, which is science fiction conventions in general. So
exactly.
We might as well talk about the big one.
The big Super Geek Con.
Which it's interesting because it's not your typical science fiction convention. I think it differs a lot from what we normally would consider to be a science fiction.
Well, and I think the name is a bit of a misnomer as well at this point.
Yeah, it's been around for many, many years. I think we'll say 30 years.
Yeah.
Something. I think it
started in like a basement and had 300 guests, I believe, the first year.
This year, the biggest show ever. I think they are saying there was over 100,000 people there, close to 125.
That's a lot.
It's a 4-day thing. It starts on a Wednesday and goes to Sunday. Maybe that's even 5 days.
That's 5 days.
But, okay, so it starts on a Thursday and goes to Sunday, and I think Wednesday is like
No, I think it is 5 days, seriously.
Is it? Okay, well.
It's all week. It actually runs for an entire year, and this is just the peak of it right there.
We may be geeks, but I'm no good at math, so, you know, I'm breaking rules and stereotypes all over the place. and there's my first anyway. Ding!
And I forgot the counter.
Yeah, we'll do it next week for all the people that do want to keep track. A lot of things happened at San Diego Comic-Con that didn't happen at our convention.
We missed them all.
Yes. You know, this show, I mean, it's the epicenter of geekdom, and it's also pretty close to Los Angeles. So
And Tijuana, Mexico.
And Tijuana. So you get a lot of illegal alcohol being flustered in.
The occasional donkey show.
Yeah.
A little foreshadowing.
Yes. Thank you for thank you for classing up the joint.
That's what I do.
But I'll focus on the L.A. portion of what comes to the show.
Not hot.
You get a lot of famous people. You'll get sneak previews of movies that would appeal to the geek fandom community.
Exactly.
So this year, for instance, big focus on Superman Returns. Big focus on
Superman Returns.
Yeah, they had a big show there.
They got to get people to see it, apparently.
Yeah. Any good publicity, that's what they're looking for. Spider-Man 3 had a big showing. Snakes on a Plane had a big showing.
Snakes on a Plane, that's one. Every single article that I've read this week about what happened there, every one of them mentioned Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, I think,
Got a lot of buzz.
What they do for these shows is they not only will they bring in the director, but a lot of times they either ask or force the stars of the show or movie to come on in and talk about it. And so, you know, you're going to see Sam Jackson show up at San Diego Comic-Con.
It's going to be tight, y'all.
He made a great appearance, I guess. He was quick and witty and the Sam Jackson that everybody
busted
loves.
Out the big line that the fans wanted to have in.
He said it.
Yeah.
It's the Sam Jackson that people love from Pulp Fiction, not from Die Hard 3.
It's the cartoon character of Sam Jackson.
So I guess, like you said, Snakes in a Plane made a big splash. Kind of circling back to Superman Returns, Bryan Singer popped up there and was talking about the movie and gave some interesting insight into the marketing. He said, I won't quote him, but he pretty much said that he felt that Warner Brothers marketing dropped the ball, didn't really get the point across of what the movie was about, and that probably hurt a little bit. And he said that he wants to do a sequel, and he's either in talks or will be in talks to do a sequel for 2009.
Sure.
And he's excited to continue the story that is Superman. And the villain is going to be who, Jared? Have you heard?
I have not heard. I haven't even heard if they've officially greenlit a sequel at this point.
I don't know if they had, but I think they probably will. It'll end up being cheaper.
They probably will. It has to be cheaper.
but the villain that he wants to use is Zod. So to circle back to those guys, it'd be nice if they could use a whole new villain.
Yeah, I mean, there's only, 60, 70 years of history there that they can pull from.
Well, we'll see if that actually happens. And
Zod, was he originally a comic character or was he created only for
Superman? I believe
he
was a comic character.
Okay.
I believe, but still, you guys out there, you can correct us if we're wrong.
Write us letters.
Yep.
Please.
So, Superman was covered. Spider-Man 3, they played either an extended trailer or just new footage, which really seemed to wow the crowd.
Yeah, I think it was footage.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a fully cut trailer, but just raw footage scenes.
Locking in that Topher Grace is playing Venom.
Yes.
It's Venom is a symbiote, you know, a creature of some sort that gloms on to a human host and turns into some sort of beast.
I read somewhere that Sam Raimi actually had to be convinced to put the Venom character in there.
Yeah, I read the same
thing. He thought
it
was a little too sci-fi and he didn't fit into and this is what he said, the real world of Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was definitely more of a fan of the classic Spider-Man, not the 80s, 90s.
But he got convinced by I think it was AVR Ed.
I never knew how to pronounce that guy's name.
I don't know if I pronounced it right, but I threw it out there.
Very nice.
I felt comfortable with it.
So Spider-Man getting one of the biggest responses of the 4 or 5 day weekend show.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah, I think that movie is going to knock your socks off. I don't know if it'll be...
I might have two pairs on just in case.
Very nice. So you'll always have warm feet.
Anyway.
Yes. So speaking of blockbusters, they did a presentation on Pirates of the Caribbean 3. Didn't wow as much. I guess the presentation was fairly technical and didn't focus on footage. And I'm not even sure if any of the stars were there. So, you know, I guess they figure the 800-pound gorilla that is Pirates will do well no matter what.
They probably don't need any extra buzz.
It'll be interesting to see how that movie faces off against Spider-Man 3 next year.
Yeah,
that will be very interesting.
They're about 4 weeks apart, though. So Spider-Man's in, May 4th, and Pirates is coming out Memorial Weekend.
Yes.
So it's a good gap. 3 weeks,
it'll
at least.
And Pirates held on to number one spot,
Pirates
2, for a number of weeks. So, yeah, it could be very interesting next year. And if there will be Pirates burnout, who knows? Other movies announced, a lot of Marvel stuff coming out. Jon Favreau directing Iron Man, no star attached, but rumors are still churning that Tom Cruise might take that role as Tony Stark. Jared, your opinion?
I'm not sure if the world wants much more of Cruise right now. Yeah. I mean, Mission Impossible didn't do that well.
I think that might be a mistake.
Someone
slightly grittier, slightly less.
Don't
of a
be
superstar.
Afraid to go with an unknown.
Mm-hmm. What else here? Ant-Man. I don't know what they're going to do with that movie, but that's pretty much greenlit and is going to be going on.
Is it going to be a low budget one? That's the only reason I can think if they go with Ant-Man.
I don't know how low budget it could actually be. I mean, it sounds like it could be.
Yeah,
a
but
fairly
how much of an audience does Ant-Man have? Honestly,
I have.
I guess I was skeptical at Ghost Rider too. So we'll see how that one pans out.
Oh, speaking of Ghost Rider, Nick Cage showed up, plugging the movie. They had an extended trailer showing more footage, more of the transformation of Johnny Storm or Johnny Blaze into Ghost Rider. Nick Cage acting a little whacked out, like a wacky tabacky type of thing. I've
really?
Heard. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk like I've been there. Like I was there watching all this stuff.
Uh oh.
Right in the middle of our first segment, here comes Adam, and he's got sunglasses on, hiding his tears of sadness.
He made it, though. That's the key.
We'll let Adam...
Turn my mic on.
Hey, you're on. Don't worry.
His mic is on. Adam, we were just talking about your lack of professionalism, and you're rooting the show.
I agree.
He totally agrees.
That's what my aim is.
Actually, we are right smack dab in the middle of San Diego Comic-Con news, so... Yes, and we're only about 10 minutes into the show, so you didn't miss much.
Good. Sorry about that.
That's all right. So we're covering Ghost
Keeps
Rider, and then finally, while Adam is getting saddled up, the new Hulk movie.
Adam, please, pull your pants up.
Which I've heard will be kind of based on the television series, where maybe a little sci-fi, but...
The new Hulk movie, you said?
Yeah. I don't know what, like, I don't know...
I've heard that, this is what I read a couple weeks ago on like, sci-fi.com, is that... Avi wants to completely redo it. You know, just
basically, I think they probably have to.
Basically disregard what has already come in the films.
Well, they're titling it The Incredible Hulk, right?
I don't know what they're
titling. I think they are.
They probably should.
And I mean, none.
They're calling it The Hulk Not Done by Ang Lee.
Yeah.
I've heard that he might be more of the Gray Hulk than the Green Hulk.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Kind of the going back to the classic stuff. So, you know, and also showing up at San Diego Comic Con, you have... premieres of some of the new fall shows coming, like this NBC possible hit Heroes, which is a superhero-based show, which is getting fantastic buzz. I haven't really read that much about it, but I just know it's kind of in the vein of Unbreakable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Superpowers in the real world. So yeah. I definitely will be tuning that show in.
Yes.
Come
as will I.
September.
And
And finally, I mean, it is called the San Diego Comic-Con, so we can't go on without talking about comic books, so I'll hit some of the quick comic news that struck at the show. A lot of the big comic news also hits at the Wizard World in Chicago, which is in a week or soon. They like to kind of spread that news out, so not everything hits there. But looking at my notes, Brian Bendis and Frank Cho to do the new Avengers book, so there'll be two Avengers books out there, probably spinning out of Civil War. Let's see, in Transformers news, because we all love it, Bob... Budiansky, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, who is the original writer of the Transformers comic book, is coming back to do a new adaptation of the Transformers movie comic. It's the 20th anniversary, so there's a big DVD release coming out in November, which I just read will have the original letterbox version of the movie, so they must have found a copy of it. And
fantastic.
Yeah, they're going to kind of do a comic that's going to play that out. And Adam Hughes, Mr. King of Cheesecake, will be writing and drawing the All-Star Wonder Woman. So that will be the third book in the All-Star line. Hopefully it will be the second good book, because the first one by Frank Miller, and I love the guy, it stunk.
Batman.
Wow.
Batman and Robin.
Thank you.
Batman and Robin, the Boy Wonder.
Thank you very much. Adam in the house finally. Adam, why were you
late? Making his presence known.
I was late because I was told I had to watch Clerks 2 before entering.
Very good.
I was finishing that up. And
okay.
Excellent.
Well, let's get Adam into the conversation. Let's wrap up San Diego Comic-Con and let's find out what's going on in Adam's world of computers.
Nerd.
The Scope World of Warcraft update. Remember, burly rockjaw trogs have feelings too.
Good job getting an actual mob. Mob would be a bad guy in the game.
I don't know what that means. Adam, we know you love World of Warcraft. We know that your clan or your group or your whatever they call it wants you to talk about it. So what's happening in the world of Warcraft?
It's a guild, first of all.
A guild, thank you. Have you leveled up? Have you found any gold pieces?
I don't know what updates I have. We
wow. Way to work on that picture.
I didn't know that this was. You guys are going to hit me like this. I finished leveling my druid to level 60, which is the highest level in the game. His name is Danon, like the yogurt.
Nice fruit on the bottom.
Yes. Everyone says that whenever I join a raid.
Wow. So you're not original at all, Jared. Suck on it.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know these things.
I got him a +25 agility enchant on his Doomhammer, which is the weapon that he's using right now. I don't know.
And leveling up to 60?
I got the new Healing Touch spell.
Very nice. Ooh.
Is that anything like the Invisible Touch?
Yes. Is Genesis involved in that?
No, I wish.
Is it a good touch or a bad touch?
Yeah.
It's a healing spell, so I'm going to assume it's a good touch.
And we've got to ask, how many times have you gotten laid because of leveling up to 60?
In-game or out-of-game?
Oh!
I would say in-game first.
Zero.
And out-of-game.
Zero.
-1.
Right, yeah, there was one time I had a good chance, and then she heard about it. And
she ran away. Right. Well, we look forward to more World of Warcraft updates. I'm sure they'll be coming your way And our
I spent
way.
All that time making the jingle. Yeah. We're going to do it again.
Yeah, that jingle's sticking around, people.
I'll make sure to get him into Molten Core and get some pieces of his Scenari investments.
I don't know what that means. I completely zoned out and was thinking about other things.
Right.
So we have... I forced Jared to have a last-minute sound clip edition for this particular episode of The Scope. It happened last night when my beautiful wife and I were spending some quality time together, and I think some of you will argue what quality time is after I describe what we were doing. But we were watching the MTV quasi-reality show The Hills.
Why?
Because we were spending quality time together. Just in case
That's
my wife...
couples do.
If she ever does listen to this show, I'm not going to rip on it too much. But needless to say, my favorite moment of summer television came out of this particular episode of The Scope. Out of The Hills. I'm comparing The Hills to The Scope now.
Great. We're quasi-reality also.
Yeah, we really are. I mean,
we don't have any hot chicks, though.
No, we don't.
We're lacking.
But for all of you out there, and I hope it's everyone who's listening who isn't familiar with The Hills, it is a spinoff of Laguna Beach, the fantastic reality television show where...
Is that still around, Laguna
Yes,
Beach?
It is. A new season starts in a week. But The Hills takes a look at one of the main characters from Laguna Beach and watches her go through. She's an intern at Teen Vogue. And so she has all sorts of friends, and they're doing their dumb things, and the cameras are recording. And in one particular bit, which I absolutely loved, and you'll be hearing in a second, the absolute super buff Jordan, who has got to be around 19, is being dumped by his very sensitive girl, Heidi. And she's about the same age. And keep in mind, they've been dating for seems like an eternity, 7 months. So let's listen as Heidi decides to rain on Jordan's parade.
Hi. I can't do this anymore.
I know, and I can't either. I've just completely just screwed things up, but I love you more than anything in this world, Heidi.
Oh, yeah.
I try to imagine my life without you. I can't. I really can't.
Doris, it's not about...
Get him a hanky.
If I love you, because you know that I love you more than anything. It's about us not being the best for each other. And I'm done, and we've tried this.
You don't think I'm the best for you?
No, I think that we've been bringing out the worst in each other. It's little comments that we say to each other, and it's little things, and it's just...
Heidi, I can't live without you. Like, I will do whatever it takes.
I'm done.
He'll do whatever.
That was really gay.
Yeah. Crying, you're 19, you're crying on camera, and it will follow you forever.
No kidding.
It was fake, though, right?
What's that?
That was fake, though.
Well, if it was fake, he was doing a great job. I think there was...
Maybe Emmy. Get a lot
give
of acting
Emmy.
Jobs now.
Yeah, well, I say we give...
I'm very pro The Hills tonight,
We give Jordan from The Hills the Scope Award of the day for being a big pansy and crying on camera. Thank you. Thank you, Jared. So let's find out what's happening on the rest of The Scope.
I disagree with
There's
you.
More to come?
There is more to come. Adam diggity. Disagrees, but you were late, so you don't get an opinion.
Damn it.
At least until segment B.
Okay.
Yes.
We're going to be following up on our Convergent show of last episode and listen to some interviews from Convergent 2006. So we sent a couple of our fantastic reporters out, and they interviewed the denizens and interesting souls that inhabit this convention, and we're going to take a look and critically analyze what they have to say. After that, we're going to do our typical Under the Scope and take a look at news, take a look at some reviews of Big Brother All-Stars, the fantastic reality series from CBS, as well as Clerks 2, done by superstar Kevin Smith, and we'll take a look at what's coming soon in the world of geeks.
All your favorite segments.
All your favorite segments coming at you, just like you love them and just like you know them. And we'll take a look at all of our listener mail, because there's a ton of it this week. So, yeah, let's take a break. We'll be back in just a minute with more Scope. Thanks.
Let's listen in as friends and family of the Scope talk about how the creators of the show, each in their own special way, impacted and inspired their lives.
Hello, I'm Shane's father, Dale. I'm a lifelong military man, and for the past 8 months, I've been overseas serving and protecting my country. When I found out that Shane and his other nerd buddies created this podcast while I was out fighting Al-Qaeda and hunting Taliban, well, all I can say is that I couldn't be a prouder parent. So thanks, son, for spending your time making a fake radio show about Star Wars dolls and funny books. I think we all know who the real American hero is. You're listening to The Scope.
Thanks for sharing. If you'd like to tell the world how The Scope has changed your life for the better, send your audio comments to comments@thescopeshow.com. Now, back to The Scope.
Oh yeah, welcome back to The Scope. This is episode 9, on the way to episode 10.
Yeah, baby.
Can't believe we're making it this far, and it's just going to go on and on and on and on. So as I mentioned before the break...
Keep talking.
When music Wait just for keeps it. On going, I'm kind of confused. For the break, we're going to take an in-depth look at Convergence with our two fantastic interviewers. Yeah. So let's roll that sound clip.
When the comedy can't be contained, when the laughs are just too large, it's time to go outside the scope.
Oh, yeah.
Gentle reminder, outside the scope is those moments when we take it outside the studio. I mean, very literal, but hey, it works nonetheless. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yes. So, as I mentioned, we did some interviews. We sent out some drunk people to talk to even drunker people at Convergence 2006. Little background, you're going to be hearing two voices, mostly this time around. You're going to be hearing one from...
a little background chatter.
Yeah. From a guy by the name of Bill. Can I give his last name?
Bill Young.
He
Bill
says
Young.
It like three times.
So. Yes. He made an appearance in the last episode. He was the drunk fellow that dominated the mic and... Made a fool of us all. Yeah, professional comedian that really shines through. He did the bulk of the reviews on Saturday night, which is the Wilder night. Jess, who did some interviews for us for MarsCon, was with, as was Adam, helping out on the technical side. Another interviewer, a good friend of ours, her name is Sarah, and I'm not sure if we have permission to do her last name, show her, tell her last name. She went out on Friday night and did a few more long-form interviews, and we'll have a clip from her as well. So let's get this bad boy started with interview number one. It's with a pirate, I believe. Is that correct, Adam?
A lady pirate.
A lady pirate.
And feel free to take these in whatever order you want. Okay. We'll go with this one first.
Okay, lady pirate, roll it.
This is Bill Young with TheScopeShow.com, special correspondent. Now, you are a girl, is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Surprising. And you are at a science fiction convention. Is that also correct?
A convection.
That is very correct.
May I ask as to why?
Alcohol, costumes, and balls, I guess. Lots of balls.
Lots of balls. Now, I see you're dressed as a pirate right now, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and I see you're wearing earrings.
Yes, I am.
How much do they cost?
Probably $5.
Oh, I'm sorry. The correct answer is a buccaneer. A buccaneer.
He repeats it for effect.
Big setup there.
The only pun in the history of the world I've ever actually laughed out loud at.
And you'll be punching Jared later, fighting over puns.
That lady, by the way, instantly Jess's new best friend.
Really? Wow. Did they hang out the rest of the night?
When she said balls, Jess, I think, almost fell down.
Wow.
And almost
she
spilled
did seem
her
to
cider.
Enjoy it.
Hanging out. Bill was pretty aggressive on the interviews, wouldn't you say, Adam?
I would agree with that. He was great. He, yes, positive adjectives here.
From listening back to it, it sounded like he was like chasing after people, trying to get that exclusive.
Yeah. Very aggressive on the interviews.
There were definitely some where he had to run like, you know, halfway across the floor yelling their name.
Yeah. He saw his target and he moved in.
Yes.
Well, hopefully we can get Bill in for another set of interviews.
That would be fun.
At another convention and maybe even come in and talk about some of the other interviews we won't be playing tonight. So, Adam, I'll let you pick the next clip. What do you see there?
Well, speaking of him chasing people down, there was a really good one where he had to chase down a man and a lady that were in an odd costume that we couldn't pick out at first. which I don't want to give away. Mm-hmm. By they should have just gone in order.
Looking at my list, I think I know which one you're talking about.
Hit it.
Is it this one?
Excuse me, gay millionaire Tarzan. Gay millionaire Tarzan. Bill Young, thescopeshow.com. Wonder if I can ask you a few questions.
Sure thing.
Who are you wearing?
Ermine.
All right.
What does that
good
mean?
Choice. Good choice this year.
I think it was the guy's name.
What's that?
So what does Ermine mean?
I think it might have been the name of the, you know, whatever he slayed to wear.
Oh, okay.
The name of the...
I have to say that question went over a lot better this time than it did at the MarsCon. The whole, what are you wearing? Yes. People got it.
Good.
And played along for the most part, which was nice.
The woolly mammoth that he slayed. That's what I'm going to go with.
Okay. Ah, perfect.
Was wearing his coat.
Hey, very excited about the convention.
Yes, it's absolutely fabulous.
Obviously so. I can tell by the firmness of your nipples. What are you most excited about?
It's got to be the hot tub. There's nothing like cooking people.
Nice, cooking people. Now, you'll have to excuse my ignorance, but may I ask, what exactly your costume is supposed to represent?
I'm a pimp caveman.
Pimp caveman. And I assume this
everything.
Is your cave girl, pardon the expression, ho.
Yes.
I am his. Now, has she been bringing in the money for you?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. She's bringing in the money. I mean, the looks, it is there. We don't even have to work.
Okay. A couple of general questions, pimp caveman. Who could win in a fight, you or Superfly?
Who's Superfly?
I just have to say, anyone who's dressed as a pimp has an obligation to know who Superfly is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like the granddaddy of pimps.
He was staying in character, though, and so he was not alive when Superfly...
Oh, was that it?
But he doesn't speak English.
Anyway.
All right, one last question for the hoe. When are you going to have his money? No comment. No comment. Thank you very much.
I think that was my favorite joke of the evening.
Yeah, he really hit her.
I do like that he says that they're doing so well that they don't have to work, but that she's bringing in the money. So clearly she's working.
Yeah, he's not.
She's working it.
I mean, we're going to have to put pictures of especially them up, but when he was chasing them down, I mean, gay millionaire Tarzan was the best description for them. It was probably my favorite costume of the whole night.
So speaking of strange costumes, there was another fellow dressed up in a more of a fantastical sort of outfit.
Yeah.
Let's roll that clip.
Excuse me, Mr. Fairy, who are you wearing tonight?
I am an overweight, middle-aged fairy. I got the wings and suspenders.
Something you guys are going to notice as these interviews go on is that we talk to a lot of guys that sound like they're absolutely struggling to talk.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even. I've got to go to the bathroom.
Is it because they're drunk or they just haven't learned communication skills yet?
Use your imagination.
And a little wand and a Guinness. Sort of waiting for the unemployment check this week. You know, it's a little late. All the sylvan streams have dried up, and just not a lot of work for fairies these days.
That's very nice, Mr. Fairies. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right, a few questions here. Is this your first con?
No, I've been to many cons. I've been to many con and all the time, lots and lots of cons.
All right. What's your favorite genre around here?
Well, you wouldn't know it, but I really like Star Trek, you know, the...
When did you become the Scottish fairy? That's what I want to know.
It's changing. Next, it'll be Arabian Nights fairy.
Original series.
Oh, thank you. May the force be with you.
Live long and perspire, something like that.
Something is perspiring. Yes. Yeah.
Well, here, you're a huge Star Wars fan. Why are there no Jews in Star Wars?
It's because of the Schwartz is not with him.
They don't have the shorts. That's good.
They don't have the shorts.
Oh, that was another one I like.
Gorgeous.
So why was Star Trek never afraid to include, like, homosexual undercurrents? I notice that a lot.
There are some literature that says that Kirk and Spock were kind of funny, but we don't know about that.
Wow, that's hot.
Possibly. I don't read that kind of thing, but I know it exists out there.
He reads it.
Yeah, I don't like that he starts referencing fanfic.
Yep.
And then, then he calls gays funny.
Yep. Those gays are so funny.
He just won't admit his true nature.
Yep.
Can only speculate. Is that a trouble in your pocket, sir? Are you happy to see me?
It is something in my pocket, but it's not... what was the question?
One more question for you, Star Trek fairy. Can you yell con for me?
Con!
Thank you very much, sir.
The best con, I think that will be replacing our MarsCon con. Very appropriate.
Oh, that was good.
So, Adam, what happened when Bill tried to interview people that didn't want the attention? Could you set that up?
Yeah, there were only a couple. The one I think we're going to listen to is a guy that was like dressed as maybe Galahad, some knight of the round table type thing.
It wasn't people that work there?
Maybe that's what this one is. I don't know.
Look at the professionalism all the way around.
I was drunk. Okay. Don't listen.
I think Bill told me the story that he tried to interview security guards or something.
No,
is
it was the staff, like the cleaning staff. Okay. We tried to interview them at first, and they just... Maybe
they wanted nothing
English.
To do with it.
Okay,
and then it was their supervisor we tried to interview.
Okay, well, let's listen in.
Excuse me, sirs. Bill Young, scopeshow.com, special correspondent. Wonder if I can ask you guys a few questions about the show that's going on? Not even a few?
No, not even one.
Not even one?
You've already had one. That's a bonus round.
Aw.
Technical.
Don't answer questions. We just ask them.
Okay, you want to ask me some questions? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty good at answering them.
Sure you are.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bill Young.
Bill, he's always setting it up and knocking it down. You know, thank you, sir. This is Bill Young. And on the top end of the bottom.
Very respectful.
Very nice. So I guess that leaves one more interview, which is one of my favorites of the night, Adam.
There's two.
Well, I mean, one more from Bill.
Bill, yes.
So I think this was probably early for him.
It was actually the very first interview that we did.
So it could have been a disaster.
Right. We got Bill properly liquored up.
Duplicated.
Yeah, he brought in some really nastily strong Belgian beer or something. I don't know what it was.
I tried some.
I was drinking it with him, and it packed a punch quickly. So Bill was ready to go right out of the gate. Hit it.
Excuse me, Wolverine. Bill Young, guest correspondent for the Scope podcast. I was wondering if I could ask you a few questions.
Guest and special.
Who are you wearing?
I'm wearing Professor Charles Xavier.
Okay, that's good to hear. How do you feel about Brett Ratner directing you in the latest movie?
I thought he was okay.
You think he was all right? Well, how do you feel about Cyclops being killed off?
He's a dick.
You don't have a lot of love for Cyclops, then?
Yeah, he's a dick.
All right, Wolverine. You sound like you've been drinking, but if I know my trivia that your healing factor can take care of this, I was wondering if I could ask you some trivia questions.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Very game Wolverine.
Smartest mutant in the barrel. That right is reserved for Beast. And he is also a dick.
Snap, Beast.
I like it how, no matter how drunk these people are, they're always staying in character. They're always hitting the references. And I think we're just about to hear... One of the failures you're going to hear in interviews, including this one, is we really wanted to ask the drunk people trivia questions, and just we totally expected them to bomb. But consistent theme, it wasn't quite that simple.
No.
Hit it.
Okay, let's go. How many strings are in a guitar?
Six.
What does IRS stand for?
Internal Revenue Service.
He's a genius.
Okay. How many years in a decade?
10.
What does ATM stand for?
Automatic teller machine.
Not the smartest mutant. I beg to differ.
Yeah. Take that, Beast.
Name the second president.
Are you serious? I'm Canadian. The president of what?
The second president of the United States of America, you Canadian piece of
Wow. This interview's over. No. Samuel Adams. No, John Adams.
John Adams is correct.
We should have a ding sound here.
America.
A great choice every time. What's 12 times 12?
144.
Oh, my God. He's correct. Well, thank you very much for your time, Wolverine. Sorry to hear about Jean Grey.
Oh, yeah. She's a slut.
It's Wolverine, not scared of letting his true feelings be known.
I like that he was the only one to really answer the who are you wearing correctly. Like he named Charles Xavier as like that's the brand.
That's the designer.
Exactly. Yes.
I really like that part.
And I like the fact that Wolverine's voice comes across a little bit higher than what I expected.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Think he'd be angry, but
anyway, Bill wasn't the only person to get in on the fun. That was the special correspondent position at Convergence 2006.
I think he just created a title for himself. That's perfect.
I love it. And he will be our special correspondent from now on. And we'll use him frequently and often. But our good friend Sarah took the mic and went out with Jared on evening one.
Yes.
And did some interviews herself. She found someone who was of the Living Dead ilk, I guess. And let's listen to what he had to say to Sarah.
Hi.
Hi.
I've noticed you're the most undead person here that I've seen tonight.
I'm one of two.
And what's your name?
Christian.
So what is the technical definition of a zombie?
You have to die and you have to come back. I did it. Other people can do it too.
So now, if I wanted to be a zombie...
You would have to die.
What if I don't want to die?
Zombies, very, very emotional when you don't classify them correctly, I'm
yeah,
noticing.
Typically they're not that animated.
Yeah, usually grunting.
Yeah, a lot of dragging of feet. And
he's a Dawn of the Dead. He's one of the new...
Yeah, he's a new breed of zombie.
Right.
Then you're a genetic mutation, probably organized by the government or some freak comet by the planet or whatever, but you're not a freaking zombie. You're not a zombie until you've died.
Would it be better to fight wars with zombies?
Oh, yeah. The zombies make excellent shock troops. I mean, actually, in real life, the army is experimenting with shelf-stable blood, and it totally had the properties of carrying nutrients throughout the body, but it had no color. So as soon as you flushed an entire person out of all their red-colored blood, and they've got this transparent artificial stuff, they looked like corpses. They would have made excellent first-line shock troops.
That hurt my brain.
Yeah, that's what we do. We attack brains.
Intellectually, you know, I don't think he gave being a zombie any thought whatsoever.
No.
So there you go.
What are you saying? He wasn't in character?
He really wasn't. So, yeah, I guess that concludes section one of the Convergence 2006 interviews. There are many more.
Oh,
there, not today though, Adam.
Okay,
not today. We'll space them out through future shows and keep Convergence alive.
I would like to mention, I know I can do it at the end, but he put so much work into it. I would like to mention that at the Fringe Festival.
Name it. Yeah, we'll do it. Two plugs. Yeah. Go ahead.
Bill Young is in or producing. Or, I don't know. He's doing something with Porno the Musical, I believe is the title. And I'll make sure we get the right title.
Based on Jenna Jameson.
No, it's not actually based on anything.
Based on nothing.
Maybe possibly loosely based on something, but in order to not get sued. It's
spiritually
not
inspired by.
Maybe.
Yeah. Thank you to Bill. Thank you to Sarah. We'll be using your skills in future conventions. Thank you.
We might just start sending them out on the street.
On the street. I think that'd be great, yes. You know? Like jaywalking, but different.
Right. Yeah, but not awful.
Yeah, if the show will last to the next convention, you know, you might hear from them again.
We're not sending a special team down to Wizard World Chicago, which starts, by the way, on my birthday next Thursday, yep. August 3rd.
Maybe you and Bill could head down there and take it out.
Yeah.
Are we getting paid by the show?
Oh, no. Absolutely.
Sure. Okay.
In
profit
peanuts.
Sharing.
Yeah, profit sharing. Stock options.
Excellent.
So, yeah, that was Outside of the Scope for Episode 9. Let's take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is the Oprah Winfrey Intellectual Moment of the Day.
We had to wait a couple of times.
Now everybody's laughing, but honest to God, isn't a poop so freeing?
That was the Oprah Winfrey Intellectual Moment of the Day. Oh, no, you didn't. It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
From the PodSafe Music Network, this is the famous with Midway. Yo, keep it locked and loaded. Right here. On your hitmaker. Let's go.
I'm on die unless I... get to see the world's smallest horse. I'd do anything for a rattlesnake or a ZZ Top keychain. He can stand on the other side of the plywood counter with all the advantages. Hey, that's okay. It's not magic, it's just fooling. That Def Leppard mirror is just a ring toss away. Fell off a ride on the Midway. I'll never do my homework again. You call this fair part? been lost. I met you at the boots just like you said to do. Big Texas, like what? 7 stories tall. What did you expect? Fell off a ride on the Midway. Fell off a ride on the Midway. Oh, I nearly died on the Midway. Snake or a ZZ Top keychain.
This is Under the Scope, your one-stop shop for everything that is pop culture. We're going to do a little news, we're going to do a little reviews, we're going to do a little bit of stuff that's coming soon. So let's kick it off with the news. Adam?
Thanks. You know, it's really nice doing a show from the middle of the week because things actually happen.
No kidding.
Yes. Speaking of that,
it's not old.
Right. Yeah. So David Hasselhoff's had a rough few weeks here.
You know, man.
Crying at American Idol, cutting himself somehow, shaving, but on a chandelier. And no one's really understood how that one worked.
Showing his face on that piece of crap show, America's Got Talent.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's like the king of the show, I read. Yeah. Like, he's the reason the show is successful.
Yeah. Well, he's competing with people that have 50 horns on their bodies and they're playing a Yankee Doodle Dandy. So, you know, it's all relative.
Well, this morning, this very morning, as I'm sure everyone is rolling into work and looking at their RSS feeds of funny celebrity news.
That's what we do.
There are reports going across saying that in London, Hasselhoff was not allowed on a flight. The Sun in the UK was reporting this, that he was not allowed on a flight because he was too drunk to fly. Mm-hmm. And he was being held until I guess he had sobered up. But now we're getting reports just across the wire.
Breaking reports.
They're coming through right now. That he was merely sick and not drunk.
Yeah.
Judy Katz, the actor's publicist, called the story by the tabloid The Sun totally untrue. So that's good. I'm sure we can all have a, you know, breathe a sigh of relief.
What there part did Kit play in his sickness? That's
Michael,
what I don't know.
Drink lots of black coffee.
Yes.
You have to get on that plane.
Michael, drink my antifreeze.
Thank God one of us can do a Kit voice.
Yeah.
And it's not you, Shane.
Wait, who can do it?
Yeah, well, I mean, anyway. I could do a Principal Sweeney.
I'm glad that Jared can sound gayer than me. Thank you.
This is absolutely not gay.
Thank you.
We have a local news story.
Ooh.
Which is exciting.
Nothing happens in Minneapolis,
right.
Usually.
Well, yes, you're true. This is true. The headline, zombies, quote unquote, arrested in downtown Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah.
This should have tied in somehow with the zombie interview. Yeah. But
maybe we should have done that story first. Way to organize it, Adam. I mean, we ended the interviews. Oh,
you failed the show now. That's what happens when you show
comes in late and... It's
called you're lucky we invited you at all.
It's show prep, buddy. Anyway, redeem yourself with a great read of this news story.
The AP reports six friends spruced up in fake blood and tattered clothing were arrested in downtown Minneapolis on suspicion of quote-unquote toting simulated weapons of mass destruction. Yeah. It's kind of funny to me that there's an actual law against simulating weapons of mass destruction. Police say the group were allegedly carrying bags with wires sticking out of them to make them look like a bomb while meandering and dancing as part of a, quote, zombie dance party.
Maybe they were
last
just
Saturday
coming
night.
Back from Radio Shack.
Yeah. This is possible. On KSTP, our local ABC?
Our local fourth place news station.
Right. Hey, they were the only ones that had that actually have their mugshots on the website.
Zombie
so
mugshots.
We'll have
they got
to
scooped
to
on
that.
Every other story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're tracking down zombies, though. Actually, thank you, Cindy Picado.
They're actually really funny to look at. Apparently, the police asked them to give, you know, to explain what they were doing and to show identification, and
they
refused.
Said, right.
Exactly. They were role playing, and so they had to stay in character.
Yeah, Jared got exclusive sounds. Jared.
That one, I don't know why they did that one.
In character, Adam.
Sorry.
That's the best one.
So they were arrested, and so yeah, maybe a little over the top by the police, but it's like, why can't you show your ID?
Yeah,
how hard is that?
So you're clearly anti-zombie.
I am anti-zombie on this case.
I think police overreacted slightly.
Well, that's what I already said. Bit.
Everyone knows that police like to pick on nerds.
This right. is so true.
Kate Kirby, one of those arrested, said previous zombie dance parties, because these are common now, I guess.
When are we going to have one? The Scope Zombie Dance Party. Yeah!
Previous zombie dance parties at the Mall of America and on light rail trains have occurred without incident.
Light rail.
Last fall,
we need to send Bill out into the light rail trains.
Last
yeah,
fall,
sit there.
Nearly 200 people took part in the, quote, zombie pub crawl in northeast Minneapolis.
Nice.
I don't know how I missed that last year, but I think I might have to get up on that this time.
I think they're intentionally excluding us.
Finally, yes. The biggest story of the week, broken
huge.
By People magazine, Lance Bass.
And me. I broke it to you.
Lance Bass admitting and to the world that he's gay.
Yep.
When I originally read the article, I thought it would be something about him going to the moon
yeah.
or into outer space. Just that he's gay. One of the funniest things I've ever seen happened on Google News yesterday while I was reading this, because it was like the most obvious two headlines next to one another. One said, violence continues in the Middle East, and the one next to it said Lance Bass admits he's gay.
Yeah,
and it's just like, oh, it's obvious.
They compliment each
other. I think it's kind of
you know, like chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah.
Usually in these boy bands, everybody has their look and their role. You know, yeah. like in NSYNC. So you had Justin Timberlake; he was the heartthrob, and then you had the old dude, and then you had Lance Bass, who I always called the retarded one because he looked like he had problems. You know, he has the sunken eyes, and he was always kind of special.
Kind of had that half smile.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's like he wasn't
quite processing yeah. the world.
And in fact, he has two burdens. He's kind of the retarded gay guy of NSYNC now.
Wow.
And he's the one, and he wants to go to the moon. You know, I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Poor guy.
I say good for him.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's probably the nicest of the
he
bunch.
He does seem kind of dopey, I agree.
Yeah, sort of slow.
I guess my question is, when is the rest of the group coming up?
There we go. Well, drum.
I don't know if we really deserve that, but...
I'll give it to you.
So, Joey Fatone, who
or
I guess
as we say, Joey Fat
Joey
One.
Joey Fat One, right, yeah. because that's...
He's also dopey looking.
Very original.
And to the Fat One.
Joey Fatone's actually really funny. Like, I've seen him on Conan.
Call
with,
him Fatone. That's what I say.
With Lance Bass.
And you've got a really great shrine to him in your apartment as well,
right,
don't
it's
you?
A cutout. Oh, yeah. It's okay. a life-size cutout.
Okay.
Cardboard. So, yeah, I guess, you know, immediately they had asked him, and he was like, I fully support him. And one of the things that is implied, anyway, yesterday when this was coming out, was that no one had heard from Justin Timberlake yet. Like the implication was that, oh, he was against it and that he wouldn't be okay with it. So, just so everyone knows,
oh, there's
AP,
more to this.
Yeah, what does Justin have to say
AP
on the subject?
Got an interview with Justin Timberlake. I support Lance. Lance is one of my great friends, Timberlake said in a statement issued by his rep. So yeah. there's still some distance.
Did he really say it?
Lance is helping me push forward the sound of pop music.
I support him and wish him all the happiness in the world. I will say, by the way, that...
in that you can't see that Justin was doing that wink. You know, I support him. Wink! You know, to all the people out there so he doesn't alienate.
Right, in his best Jim J. Bullock impression.
Exactly. Hello!
Yeah, so... That it's been an exciting week for celebrities and zombies.
Well, thank you, Adam.
Fantastic.
Let's move on to my favorite section of the snow.
Snow.
Yeah. The drinking game that that is the Scope Reviews. And because Jared always wants me to introduce these segments consistently, I think I need to explain the Scope scores to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
It's a sliding scale of 0 to 4 stars. I don't even know what a sliding scale is, but it sounds good.
Is there a non-sliding scale?
It's at whatever moment we decide to stop it.
Exactly.
That's what the score is.
Zero
Very scientific.
0 stars means it's a piece of crap. 4 stars means it is the best shiznit out there. And yes, I said shiznit, so I'm about 8 years out of date on that, and I feel
it's
bad.
Absolutely
and
amazing.
Adam is scowling. Nothing's ever got a 0. Nothing's ever got a 4. maybe this week will be the week when that happens. First review, I think, is
did
of...
Hope and Faith really not get a zero? What
I think
was
that got a quarter.
We said it made it onto television,
there was,
so it
there
gets
was,
a quarter.
Right. There was one moment, I believe, that caused it to have a quarter.
Oh, it's because Jefferson was in it. That was the
that was it.
We felt bad for him.
Never mind.
So, first review is a television show, Big Brother Season 7, or Big Brother All-Stars.
Right, Shane, our first review this week is for the summer reality television show, in
very
my
clean.
Opinion, Big Brother.
Oh, am I supposed to play something?
I don't have a script. That's what my script
I'm
says.
I'm sorry, hit it.
Hello again, house guest.
Hello, Julie.
Just a reminder, when I reveal the vote, the evicted house guest will have 1 minute to say goodbye, gather her belongings, and walk out the front door.
Takes a long time, Julie.
She's got to build suspense.
By a vote of 8-2.
But first.
Nokomis. You have been evicted from the Big Brother All-Star House.
Okay. Give me a hug, hon.
There you go. That's how that show goes.
Julie Chen, the focus of Howard Stern's ramblings very frequently.
I don't understand that.
She's married to...
Leslie Moonves.
Correct. So now in its seventh season, the Julie Chen hosted show puts 14 strangers into a house and films every waking moment. Over 3 months, they compete in a series of physical and mental stunts, all for the chance to win $500,000. This season adds a new twist. All 14 contestants have played the game in previous seasons.
Dun, dun.
Hence, All-Stars. But it isn't all strategy and cutthroatery. Cutthroatery?
Yeah, I made that up.
It's actually...
Look at you, Mr. Linguist.
Yes. listen in as Horn Dog Howie hits on the evil but lovable Dr. Will.
You're back in good shape, buddy.
You're a weird, weird dude.
Thanks, Doc.
Do you used to eat paste when you were a little kid?
Yes.
Someone call in the shrink. I need some help here. I'm being sexually harassed by a big idiot, and I don't know what to do.
You put the eeky and freaky.
Has he ever said that to you before, Jace?
No.
I take that as a tremendous compliment.
He's a weird, weird kid. Real creepy.
Thanks, Doc.
Sounds like no, Howie's shaking a can of spray paint in the background. No. Was he graffitiing Dr. Will? What's going on? Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt your impromptu introduction to the show.
Exactly. Just so you guys know, Big Brother runs through the end of the summer every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday on your local CBS affiliate.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Adam, what'd you think of the show? What do you think?
Right. So we're reviewing not an episode. We're reviewing the show as a whole.
Yes.
I really like it. It's my favorite summer reality show. I could somehow try to work in Real World Road Rules Challenge, but that's not summer only. So since this is summer exclusive, I will put this on top. And now that they canceled The Mole, I mean, really, what do I have? What else is there?
Nothing.
Right. But yeah, I enjoy it. I hate so many people on there. They do a great job in casting because I get furious at certain people. And, you know, yeah.
There you go.
It's improved every year, too, which is also a big factor for me.
Fantastic.
Me. All right. I haven't watched Big Brother since the first season, and I only watched it sparingly then.
Mm-hmm.
I've started watching it this year at Shane's urging.
I forced him.
Tried to make it a social event, and I'll admit at first, I was having a hard time getting into it because I didn't really know any of the people and everyone else. You know, since they're all-stars, people kind of have a history already, and everyone I've been watching it with already knows these people, so there's kind of an unspoken thing, a language they understand what's going to happen and everything. But just in the last week, I've grown to like it a lot more. I started watching it on a regular basis, and then Will comes out with his bold statement saying he hates everyone, and if he isn't voted out, he's going to throw every competition from here on out, and I like that. He's my favorite guy on the show, and now I like it. It's also my my favorite summer reality show, but since the only one I've attempted to watch so far is Treasure Hunters. The competition's kind of slim, so.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to agree with both Jared and Adam. I think Big Brother has been great this year. The ratings haven't been as good as it was last year. I don't know why that is, because
ratings and television are down overall this summer.
So I'm sure that probably has something to do with it. And, you know, Jared did mention one of the big weaknesses of this show for this season is since there already is a history with these people, you don't get the thrill of kind of seeing these personalities develop. I mean, they're already there and they're kind of doing their thing, so that element is missing. But it really is fun to watch these people just go back and forth and hate on each other and try to scheme. And I mean, it's a whole fake thing, so it's interesting to see them gives so much gravity to what they're doing in there when it's just utterly ridiculous.
Right.
And as Jared has said, it really turned a corner this past week. So any of you out there who aren't watching it, maybe consider watching it, this is the time to jump on because it's gotten real good. So, yeah, that's my take on it. And Julie Chen is a robot. Let's give this a score.
Very true. Wait, I did want to mention that Mike Boogie, which is the stupid nickname. He's the only Mike on the show this year. He can just go by Mike.
What does Boogie mean anywhere? What's the
just
origin
his nickname.
Of that?
It's his nickname.
He runs clubs for a living. So
in season two, there were two Mikes. I forget the other guy's name, but so they nicknamed this one Mike Boogie so that they'd be able to differentiate the two of them. And he's just, he thinks that the whole, like, him and Will are this, like,
super
awesome
team.
Duo. And it's like, they've never won anything. They don't, well, Will won season two, but.
Mike Boogie and I have a similar body shape, which, you know, he's not outclassing right. anybody there, so.
It's tiny and pale.
He has his mother's
tiny
tips.
And pale, thank you. Can we give this a score before I cry from the insults?
The Scope score is 3.5 stars.
So we loved it.
Wow. Might be that one of the highest scores so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is our second review of the
day? Second review is Clerks 2. It's from Shane dubs as Super Geek Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Wrote, direct, and edited, and starred in. This is the sequel set 12 years after the original. A fire at Dante and Randall's Quick Stop, the place where they worked before, sends them looking for the ultimate replacement jobs. But they ultimately wind up settling at Mubi's, a fictional fast food restaurant which has place in the View Askew lore from previous movies.
Look who it is, Randall.
Randall Graves. You work here too? Jesus, anyone else from our graduating class back there? You know, I'll bet dollars to donuts when you two aren't fighting about who shot first, Han or Greedo, you can still muster up enough energy to make fun of other people.
Yeah, so hurry up and order and get out of here so we can make fun of you.
How about a skinny calf with cheese and a Diet Coke?
I'll get your order. There you go.
Well, that was fast.
And fresh. Thanks. Come again.
Jason Lee, clearly on a break from the set of My Name is Earl.
And it's great when we pick clips that you clearly have to see to understand.
Yeah. Good choice, Shane.
He got urine ice and a fly burger for those people that haven't seen the movie. And that's all that's out there, so I apologize.
Right.
Improvise on the script, Adam.
So you heard Jason Lee right there.
Yep.
There's other cameos, a number of them actually all kind of packed together in that
pop
that
into the store.
Yeah.
Or the fast food place.
But it's not just a sequel with the old characters or cameos from, you know, previous View Askew movies. Rosario Dawson's Becky is the manager of Mubi's and a love interest to Dante, who is at the same time getting ready to leave New Jersey once and for all with his overbearing fiance. Yes.
Whatever her name is.
Right.
Yeah, what was her name? On.
Yeah. Blonde lady.
Yeah.
That
Barbie.
We don't understand why she would have liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Another new guy. Elias, played by Trevor Furman, is a poor, naive, Bible-thumping burger flipper that takes most of Randall's sarcasm and spews a lot of weird crap himself.
Have you and Myra had sex yet?
Well, not that it's any of your business, Randall, but she can't. You know how every girl's parents put a troll in them? Well, Myra's is named Pillow Pants. And so if I put my thing in her, Pillow Pants will bite it off.
And Myra told you this?
Oh, boyfriends and girlfriends talk to each other about sex stuff, Randall. You'd know this if you ever had a girlfriend.
Have you and Myra even kissed yet?
We would have already if it wasn't for Lister Fiend.
Lister Fiend is her mouth troll, isn't it?
Women.
Heavily, heavily edited clip, by the way.
Yeah.
Much filthier in the theater.
Randall's...
that's my favorite.
You need
character.
Randall, like, the looks that he has in that's like the best...
But it's still funny.
Right. It's the best acting in the whole movie. So, can Dante really survive outside of his comfortable confines of New Jersey?
Who knows?
What will Randall do without his hetero... Really? His hetero life mates?
I don't know, but I didn't write that. I copied and pasted it.
Speaking of hetero life mates...
Yes?
What are Jay and Silent Bob up to these days?
Find
out in Clerks 2, playing in a theater near you.
It's like a sales pitch.
Very
nice.
Adam, what did you think? You just saw it minutes ago.
All right. Do you want me to just give what I think and leave it at that? Or
just go for it and kind of interrupt, because you love to talk.
I sure do. I am really conflicted on this movie.
And do it in 2 minutes.
Oh, great. I'm really conflicted on this movie because there are parts I really liked a lot. Like, just phenomenally liked. It was way more offensive than any previous Kevin Smith movie. And not like, you know, stupid offensive, like the donkey stuff isn't really that offensive. It's all implied. Yeah. Kind of.
Right. I thought it was dumb, that part.
And I'm going to say it, even though, I mean, I'm sure someone has to say it, right? The porch monkey stuff.
Oh, wow.
Bleep.
I mean, it was, I mean, I was laughing really, and everyone in the theater was too. So yeah, it was funny. You can't imply that.
That was my favorite scene, by the way, with Wanda Sykes and Earthquake.
Yeah. Pew. The Silence of the Lambs, reference, for, you know, do you want to, and you can bleep it, I guess, do you want to f*** me? I want to f***, like, because they did it twice, but the first time it's really good because you hear the song playing, you know, like as he's doing it at first, and then they go to a different scene, but it's in the restaurant, so you still hear the music playing, and then it's still playing the same song all the way through until the very end where you see that.
You see Jay.
Right. So there were definite parts I really liked, but Jesus Christ, he should not write romantic comedies. He's terrible at writing sappy scenes. Brian O'Halloran might be the worst actor I've ever seen in my life. Dante, the guy that played Dante, is terrible. Randall, there were scenes where he was like randling it up, where like he like would like do his accent too much,
vamping it up.
Yeah, and that was kind of annoying. And when they basically redid the video for the Smashing Pumpkins song 1979, I was almost fed up. Because, I mean, if you remember the video for that, it's just them, like, in cars, and they go to, like, a party. It happens during,
it wasn't
like,
that much of a redo.
It was basically a redo.
I disagree.
So
they were running down hills in that video.
Okay, it was a redo. Yeah, let's just agree with me for this time. And
that was right. Are you done talking so Jared can start talking?
Sure.
I get to talk?
Go ahead.
Well, I disagree with... I think that Kevin Smith has finally gotten to a point where he can write some serious romantic scenes.
Wow. Adam's furiously
writing notes. In the past, they've been very clumsy, and I'm not going to say that they weren't occasionally clumsy in this film, but there were a few moments in there where I was actually genuinely touched and filled with heartfelt emotion. Overall, though, I really enjoyed the film. There was a lot of really, really uncomfortable comedy moments, which I thought were just great. They weren't necessarily laugh out loud funny, but they were just kind of, you squirm in your seat, but it's kind of enjoyable to watch. And like you said, it's mostly implied. You don't see anything, you don't really hear anything, but it's just, you know, something's going on that's not right with the world.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy this film. This could be my favorite Kevin Smith film, and I am a fan of his work.
I would like to point out one thing, by the way, real quickly, is that the scene where he's sad and everything, and
it's like Earl is here.
He parks outside some random restaurant, and there's like a little girl in the window, and he's sad, and... Yeah.
They should have called the police at that moment.
I think part of that is a failing of Brian O'Halloran's acting.
Yeah. And that was Kevin Smith's daughter.
I know who it was.
I believe it was. So she had to get a cameo.
But
so.
Still, it's just that was just dumb.
So let me talk about it now, Adam. Stop hogging the mic.
It's Shane's show now.
Yes, absolutely. So I thought the interesting thing about this story was that it takes kind of that slacker story, you know, which we've seen in Reality Bites and other movies, and fast forwards it, you know, into the future. So what happens if a slacker stays a slacker? And I think that's kind of untapped territory.
Sure.
You know, kind of dealing with it. And then you add in this nerd thing, which I think a lot of us can relate to in some level or another. And I thought it was really fascinating. And I think Kevin Smith does a good job at writing that stuff. I do think that some of his romantic...
Well, he's lived some of it.
Yes, he's lived it. And his romantic comedy stuff, I kind of fall in between the two of you. I mean, I see where Adam's coming from, and I see where Jared's coming from. It's kind of false clunky, and you're not really sure why some of this stuff is happening and how the nerd gets two hot girls and things like that. But
it's Kevin Smith's own fantasy.
It's kind of like Superman. You know, Superman can fly. You kind of have to buy into it. If you buy into it, you might like the movie better. And I guess that's not a great analogy, but
it's terrible.
Thank you. I agree with Adam. I think that, let's see here, Brian O'Halloran was terrible, the weakest part of the movie. But I think the script kind of overcame that, and the people around him were better. Strongest point in the movie was Elias, that religious nerd kid.
He was good. Rosario Dawson was really good,
too. And I hear she's just like a C word in real life. I've kind of heard that. So I actually kind of liked her.
Yeah.
But getting back to Elias, he's Minnesota born, by the way. He's a Minnesota kid.
At work, we were talking about that.
You can smell the repression on him.
Yep. I could have a whole movie about that kid. Living with his parents.
He was like the nerdy kid in Road Trip.
Yep, absolutely. He was kind of like, you kind of like the kid at the same time, you know?
Poor sheltered life.
So, yeah, but I mean, overall, I really liked it. You know, if Kevin Smith did more View Askew movies like this, I would be more inclined to watch them. So let's light this bad boy up with a score and close out our reviews.
The Scope score is 3 stars.
Clearly, Adam didn't get a strong vote in this one, and that's what happens when you come late. So let's do the final section of Under the Scope. It's our coming soon. Adam, is it a long list? Is it a short list? Are there good things coming?
It's shorter than it's been in the past. Well, I did want to mention real quickly, I forgot one detail about the Lance Bass story. He's dating Riken from The Amazing Race.
Oh, yes.
It's an important fact.
Thank you. We'll have an update on that next week.
Good.
Or 2 weeks.
So, coming soon. first, let's look at what's coming up in music.
Yes.
August 1st, that's next Tuesday, DMX's new album, The Year of the Dog, again.
Keep going.
The following Tuesday, Lesbian's favorite, Annie DeFranco, has a new album.
Yeah. And Jared's as well.
Right. Well,
I do enjoy her work. You know, I haven't bought one of her albums in 5-6 years, but I like her work.
Maybe you could bring it back.
Maybe.
Pay it forward.
I wasn't implying anything was wrong with liking it. I was just saying lesbians have...
Shane was.
I am.
Shane likes to imply.
Comments on Fire have a new album coming out. Shane,
who the hell's that?
They're a hot new band. That's all I'm going to say. Sometimes I just have to throw an alternative-sounding band onto the list, so...
They're probably emo,
bands
though.
That nobody's heard of.
I don't know if they are, but...
Don't list bands you don't know if they're emo or not.
There literally was 4 albums coming
out.
We
need an emo disclaimer.
What about movies?
Movies?
A lot of stuff.
August 4th, that's, again, the day after my birthday, next Friday. Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, is the new Will Ferrell movie where he's a NASCAR hero.
Could be great, could be terrible.
Right? I'm not sure if that's supposed to be somewhat serious or if it's just a complete farce.
I think it's complete farce.
Okay.
Yeah, complete farce.
I like that better.
Where they're asking NASCAR to laugh with them.
Right.
Good, because I like making fun of NASCAR.
Sacha Baron Cohen, who plays Ali G, is... He plays a small role in it as a French F1. That's Formula One for our non-racing fans. Right. Is in it. And John C. Reilly of all the
indie movies.
Yeah, which I'm forgetting the guy.
Anderson.
PTA, yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson movies.
What else?
Speaking of Ali G, we only have a few more months until Borat comes out. Borat, by the way, will premiere in September. At the Toronto Film Festival, getting amazing buzz at the Comic-Con screening from last week. Gigantic buzz. Barnyard, a group of farm animals, including the inexplicably a male cow with udders, talk and behave like humans in this animated comedy from
Steve
Odekirk.
They make no attempt to explain that. No.
I'm officially tired of CG animal films.
And I will mention them in every coming soon.
It's not CG. It's normal animation.
It's CG.
It's CG.
It?
Yeah. Okay. It's meant to look like the Wallace and Gromit type stuff, but... It's clearly CG.
I've seen it like 3 different previews for that. It just looks awful.
Terrible.
The Descent, this British horror import, finds an... I didn't know it was British.
Yeah.
I thought it was Australian.
I think it might be Australian, but it came up.
They all British. Sound... Any foreigners sound the same to Shane.
This accented movie.
All-female cave expedition going horribly, horribly wrong, as they so often do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no implication of lesbians.
Horribly wrong to the point where they're... Clothes are tattered and
probably
a lot of forced mixed, to comfort each other.
A lot of mixed early buzz on this, both bad and good, which would be the definition.
That'd be the
of mixed.
Mixed. Yeah,
absolutely.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Following Wednesday, August 9th, World Trade Center comes out, which is Oliver Stone's 9/11 drama.
Yeah,
this one with big stars.
With Nick Cage and Michael Pena.
Focusing on hope than on whatever.
Right.
So.
I guess United 92 got. Great reviews. I don't know if it made like a lot of money, but it got really good reviews. And like, so I don't know that people will want to see 2 9/11 movies so close together.
In the same year, yeah.
And especially where one had, no real actors in it. It actually had family members, that were on the flight.
And it was done very serious and very respectful.
Right. So
it wasn't glamorous in any way.
I can't think of a better drive-in double feature than United 93 and the
right.
World Trade
that's
Center.
A date movie.
That's
called
United 92.
93.
I think I said the wrong thing. I feel bad.
It was a prequel. TV.
Nothing new to report.
Nothing. We're kind of gearing up for
fall TV.
Fall. I think Prison Break hits the 21st of August.
Yes,
I don't know if that hits in our schedule, but it will be right around.
That'll be on the next show. We'll listen to it.
Okay.
I will. I would like to mention Colbert Report. Mm-hmm. All new. Everyone should just be watching that.
I'm watching it.
Good. Next Tuesday on DVD, Curb Your Enthusiasm, the complete 5th season. So great. I'm only 2 seasons off.
I have orders to buy it for Shane.
Thank you.
V for Vendetta. The great theatrical release now on DVD.
Can't wait something. To see it. I put that on my Netflix queue.
Easily my favorite comic book movie of the last 5 or 6 years.
Jared, bring it over to my house and we'll watch it together.
Fantastic. Sweet. And if not, I mean, it's a little over the top, but fantastic.
Okay.
And finally, everyone's been asking for it for a long time, The Witches of Eastwick.
That's for you, Jared.
I don't recall asking for it.
Well, you just did.
Do I talk in my sleep?
Mm-hmm. I spy on you.
The following Tuesday, August 8th, is like what they're probably going to start calling All-Star August 8th.
Go ahead.
For DVD releases.
I don't even remember
what's
on
all these. We got Ultimate Avengers 2, the straight-to-DVD Ultimate Avengers release.
Next. Woo!
Bring It On, All or Nothing. The sequel, I guess, probably straight-to-DVD.
Straight-to-DVD. I don't think any cast members carrying over.
Laguna Beach, Season 2.
Yeah, I'll be getting that for the wife.
Prison Break, Season 1. Yeah. So if you didn't catch that. Well, that one didn't need a sarcastic woo.
Everything gets it,
yeah.
But this one does. Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector.
Woo!
There we
get
go.
Get it done!
Oh, God.
Very nice. Adam will be buying 2 copies, 1 to keep in pristine condition, and 1 to wear out in his DVD player.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
that's my, a good place for it.
Shotgun target practice.
Yeah. Skeet shooting.
Skeet shooting. Yes, that's what it's called.
Actually, I was pigeon watching a special on History Channel about exhibition shooting yesterday.
I thought you were watching it about Larry the Cable Guy.
About,
no, it was exhibition shooting.
So is that it for this fantastic month?
Yeah, I would like to point out it's a very confusing title for some people because he is a cable guy, but also a health inspector. So it might be difficult to wrap your mind around.
Multitasking, my friend.
So if you have both needs, you can get it all. He can take care of it all in one shot.
Your voice kind of broke there a little bit.
It's late at night. I'm very tired.
So thank you, Adam, for reading that list.
You're very welcome.
And
prepared list.
Let's get out of being under the scope. Awkward sentence.
Under the scope.
Let's find out what people are saying about the scope.
They're not saying much, Shane. Hate to break it to you.
Don't people want to be famous?
The world is aligned against us. They don't have much to say. They're just getting caught up.
Are people listening to us, Adam? You check the stats.
Yeah, same number.
Okay.
It went down. It's been like up and down, but I don't know. It's been
a summer.
People
are on vacation.
I mean, we're only getting better.
Yeah,
so that's
we sure are. A couple of small little comments, you know, from past commenters. Nikki says, very entertaining show as usual. It saddened me to listen to the drunken madness I missed out on while I was being drunk dancing girl in the cow room. Dang booze makes you miss all the fun at Convergence. Sounds like you had a lot of fun.
Not sure if you Adam thought it was very much fun, but...
What didn't I think was fun?
Up when we were recording the show last in Convergence.
Good God.
You were a little grouchy. What else, Jared?
Earl says, my God, you aired this episode? I'm scared to even listen to it. He's referring to our episode 8, last episode where we had crazy shenanigans at Convergence.
Great.
Madness. Earl was there. Yeah.
It was insane.
It was. Anyway.
And that's it.
That's it. If you care, if you dare, if you are scared... send us a comment.
Please, people. This is sickening.
Please. We need something to fill up this block.
Yeah.
It's federally mandated.
Exactly.
Send us a comment at comments@thescopeshow.com or head over to the website at thescopeshow.com and just comment on the blog post that will accompany this episode.
At some point, it will look different. The site, by the way.
We promise that. And we also say there'll be more content, but never happens.
Never
happens.
We're lazy.
You can also go to podcastalley.com and vote for us so we can climb up the chart and everyone will see us. We'll be hot and famous movie stars and...
all that jazz.
No, probably not. Also, you can subscribe to us through the iTunes Music Store. That's free. Just fire up iTunes, go to your podcast section, search for The Scope, click on the subscribe link, maybe comment on us.
Yeah.
Tell your friends, tell your enemies.
Make us happy.
This week's Scope Sounds was from The Famous, from the PodSafe Music Network. That's at music.podshow.com. Shane, I'm out of stuff.
Very good. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Adam. Any appearances you guys want to plug quickly? Jared? Any appearances?
No.
Adam, going to be anywhere?
I would like to plug Bill again, Bill Young.
You would like to plug Bill.
You'd like to plug Bill? What?
Yeah.
You guys are so funny.
We are.
I would like to mention that Bill Young is going to be doing something with what I believe is Porno the Musical at the Fringe Festival here in Minneapolis.
What is the Fringe Festival for
Fringe
those who
Festival
don't know?
Is a festival on the Fringe.
Crazy comedy.
Yeah, comics and people doing plays and musicals and stuff like that.
They're all pretty short form too, aren't they? So you can catch a bunch of them?
I think so, yes.
And it's what you'll find on all of their jackets. Fringe.
They're retro.
I'll be making an appearance up north in northern Minnesota the next week. I'll be on vacation, so that's why we're recording the show a little early.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to bring back some great ideas, some great stuff that maybe we'll share in future shows. So
I want to hear some highlights from the Olympics.
They're very good. If you're 45 minutes north of Duluth, Minnesota, come and find me and we'll hang out and talk pop culture. Yeah. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Tony Partington, the hostess with the mostest. No, that would be us. The voice of pure velvet. He worked hard on that World of Warcraft bit, so good for him. Anyway, let's wrap this show up.
You're not going to thank Sarah?
Oh, yeah, Sarah. Jeez. Now she's really going to bust my chops. Sarah, you were great.
Thank Jess for helping out with
and
the equipment.
Jess, that's right.
I don't know. That's it.
Keep me on the straight and narrow, Jared. We'd love
what
it.
What I do.
So this has been Scope, episode number 9. Number 10, we're talking two digits. Big cake we're going to have. It's going to be great. So
the big X in Roman numerals.
Thanks for listening.
If you're going to be in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and would like to participate in a taping of The Scope, send your request to tickets@thescopeshow.com. Please mention in what special way you can contribute to the show.